Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to serve you again tonight, to come before your throne as your children, Lord. I know it brings great joy when your family comes to see you, when they come because they want to come. They come because they want to hear your voice, and they want to share their life with you. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy and grace. We've been studying for 42 weeks on the walking in your ways, walking in the ways of the Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that the Word contains so much instruction on how to walk with you, so much that we can do, and so many ways that we can see you in our lives daily and moment by moment. Thank you for teaching us how to choose. Your Word in Psalms 32 says that you will teach us how to choose. So, Lord, we present ourselves tonight to be taught by you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for enlightening our understanding. Thank you, Father, for being real with us, right where we live, in our moment-by-moment life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so thankful. Every day that I live, I'm more thankful for the goodness and mercy of God. I'm so thankful that all we have to do is just come, and he brings us refreshing no matter what the storms of life are. I'm so thankful. I've had some down times. I've had some up times. But in every one of them, he's always there. Amen. If I'm up, he's up. If I'm down, he's up. He's never down. And all I have to do is reach, and he'll pull me up where he is. Praise God. Well, this tonight is, as I said, this is number 42 in our series on walking in the ways of the Lord. I know we'll reach 50. I just don't know how far beyond that. But like I say before, it's an eternal subject, so you never get done studying it. But you don't have to dig something up and wonder what you're going to minister. Just talk about the love and goodness and mercy of God. That's an endless subject. You know, it's endless. You never get done with that. And you always come out happy.
Amen.
Even when you're not happy, you're happy. You don't know it. But the Word always makes us happy. Praise God. Walking in the ways of the Lord, part 42. Tonight's message is keys to walking in the steps of a good man. Or walking in the steps, keys to walking in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But since we're talking about the fruit of goodness in the last few messages, we titled it The Steps of a Good Man. Because when you're walking in the steps of a good man, you're walking in the ways of the Lord. You can't walk in the steps of a good man without walking in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you can't walk in the steps of a good man or in the ways of the Lord without walking the love walk. There, it's all connected. Okay. Hallelujah. Here's our confession, our foundational statement, what I call it. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are habitually other-centered. The fruit of goodness is a habitual lifestyle for this person. I repeat these every time because it's a foundation on what we're going to be talking about. It builds in us every time we hear it. And it sets us in a place that we can see into the subject that we're talking about. It builds something in us in the very beginning. I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the only place where there's security.
Yes.
It's the only place where we can be safe. It's the only place where we can walk in our eternity right here in our now. And it's the place he's ordained for us to walk. So that's this person is committed. He's habitually other-centered. Scripture says to be imitators of God. That's where we finished off last week. Scripture says to be imitators of God. God is love. We are love. God is good. We are good. We have been created by God's goodness as a reflection of his goodness to do good. That's why we've been created. We've been created to do good.
Amen.
That's his whole purpose. God wanted to love. He wanted someone to love with him. not just love him, but love with him, and someone that he could flow through in love to others, and to actually to all creation.
I think it's interesting. I think it's in Psalm 37 where it says, forsake evil and do good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can forsake evil and not do good. Yeah,
exactly right.
You got to forsake evil and do good.
Do good. You need to pay attention to the way things are worded. Because sometimes we'll bypass that and not even think about it. But there's, if you look at it, it's saying something specific. And if you miss those, like the word and, it's a conjunction word. So if you miss that, you miss the whole point.
That's true, and I wouldn't have picked up on that. It's not good enough to just forsake evil.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, anybody can forsake evil and just bubble along through life, but we're supposed to look for opportunities to do something that's good.
Mm-hmm. How do I know that we are love? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. As he is, so are we in this world. We are created by love, for love, to love. When we are walking in the steps of a good man, we are reflecting the goodness of God by being imitators of God. Ephesians 5, 1 and through 2 is where we're going. But notice it says we're reflecting the goodness of God. People look at us and they see him.
Wow.
People look at us and they see the goodness of God.
Yes.
You know, that they, if we're walking right, they see us good no matter what's going on. They see a goodness flowing from us, and it's not us, it's him.
Amen.
So we're reflecting his goodness flowing through us. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. All of those fruits are reflections of who he is. We're the branch on which those fruits hang. It's his fruit. It's his love, his fruit. That fruit is love in various varieties. So it's hanging on us, which is the branch. You know, we didn't produce it. All we did was obey, and the fruit came forth. We did what he said to do. We allowed the sap to flow. So these are all Amplified Classic tonight because of what we're talking about. It's the best. I tried to do the New King James, but it just wasn't bringing forth the thought that I needed to bring forth. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. So we're supposed to, what we see in God, in his ways, we're supposed to be imitating those ways. We're not doing it white knuckle as you walk through life. We're seeing how he is. And then he gives us the strength to imitate that, to be the way he is. Matter of fact, he's commanded us to do that. You know, that's what part of as he is, so are we in this world. We're imitators of God. We're not gods. But the word does talk about, Jesus even pointed it out, David called us small g.
Small g
gods, gods of this world. We're supposed to be gods of this world, but Adam gave that title away to Satan. So now he's the god of this world. But it's small g.
Small g.
You know, he doesn't own it. He just has the system, which is being cast out. So therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, or walk in his ways. As well, beloved children, imitate their father. And walk in love. That you can't imitate God any other way. Because God is love. If you're imitating him, you're walking in love. It's the way it is. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. Do we do that? When we see our brothers and sisters, especially those that maybe not are very nice to us for whatever reason, do we esteem and delight in them? We're supposed to.
Sometimes.
We're supposed to. And if we're not, we're supposed to change that.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to esteem and delight in one another, not just put up with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think loving someone is putting up with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. I'm just white-knuckling it through this relationship, you know, whatever it might be. But I'm supposed to have joy in this relationship, no matter what they do to me. Looking beyond what they're doing at who God sees them as being.
Who God sees them to be, right?
Yeah, the way he sees them. So, as Christ, and then he defines that, and walk in love, he defines it here, what the depths of that love, what the criteria is, what the boundary lines are. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, that's the way we're supposed to love one another. A slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. So as I love you that way, it becomes a sweet fragrance to God. Mm-hmm. Love has a fragrance, but sin does too. Sin stinks.
That's a good dead.
That's a good bumper sticker right there.
Sin stinks. Yes. But love has a sweet fragrance to God. Amen.
Once you design God, that bumper sticker, and I promise I'll put it on my kneecap.
Sin stinks, you bet.
Sin stinks. God has already prepared us to walk in the steps of a good man. You know, sometimes we think that we have to prepare ourselves. Well, we have to do certain things. We have to make changes. We have to have a mindset to seek after God, to draw closer to Him. But the desired result has already been prepared. This is God's idea, and He started it with Adam.
Yes.
Adam was supposed to walk in the steps of a good man. Adam was a good man, and he was supposed to walk in the steps of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he did for a while. Mm-hmm. But that's our job. So He's prepared us. He's prepared what's necessary mm-hmm. for us to walk in the steps of a good man. He doesn't have to develop it. He doesn't have to do any of that. It's already done. He's already paid the price. He's already put it out there so that we can walk in the ways of a good man. Romans 8:29. I'd like to do the whole thing there. But for the sake of time, we're just going to use verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them. Foreordaining, in other words, we've been ordained to do this, it don't mean we will. Yeah. But we've been foreordained. As far as God's concerned, His faith is out there, we're going to walk in it. But it's still our choice. Foreordaining them to be molded into the image of His Son. Notice that statement? Mm-hmm. To be molded into the image of His Son. Yes. That's God's goal. We're supposed to look like Jesus mm-hmm. in the inner man. Then it says, and share inwardly his likeness,
yes.
that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. See, he was born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Jesus got reborn. He got born again. Mm-hmm. He was flat dead. Spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. He died. He died before he went to the cross. He died on the cross. And he died in hell. He died.
He was total soul and body.
Spirit, soul, and body. He died completely. He was completely separated from God. That's real spiritual death. Mm. He was dead. But then there was a sound in hell, and a roar, and a light. And here comes the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised him from the dead raised us from the dead.
Amen.
The same Spirit is only one. And that's very exciting. Very exciting. And even Hebrews says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised us from the dead.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It took the same power to do that. So that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn of us. He's the first one born of the Spirit after dying. We're now born of the Spirit. When we receive Jesus as our Lord, we get born again. Amen. Someday that's going to sink into our thinking. And we'll realize what that really means. The depths of that. Proverbs 4:18-19 shows us the difference in the walk of a person who is a good man or an uncompromisingly righteous man. That's what the Bible calls, in the Old Testament, calls a good man, an uncompromisingly righteous man. And a man or a person who is not And there's a difference between the two. It shows what the end result is in the overall life of the two. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They're stumbling through life and don't know it. They're falling, they're failing, they're headed to hell and they don't know it. They don't believe it. But that's what they're headed for. That's why that picture means so much to me there. You know, every time I look at it and concentrate at that picture, I see something I didn't see before. It's one of those pictures, if you start looking at the people that are in it, you see all kinds of different details that you overlook if you just take a quick glance at it. Some are walking, stepping off the path to the cross to reach out to those that are on the other path, up on the way to hell. Mm-hmm. Some are not reaching out, they're just stepping off the path. Mm-hmm. Others are stepping onto the path. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, and there's all kinds of signs, road signs, go this way, this way, this way. And then you see people falling into hell. But then you see others walking all around on that picture. Everything's on fire.
Yes.
Except the churches. The only things that are not burning are the churches. There's so much in that picture, it's amazing. Debbie got me that when she went down to Brownsville, that revival down there, when she's a teenager. She brought me that home, and it's meant so much to me over my life. Because it says so much. And that is a real good picture of our lives. Where are we on that path? You know, so it's something to think about. So the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know they're in darkness. They don't know it. They know they don't feel good. They know they feel evil. They know the things around them are bad. But they don't realize that, you know, I watch some stories and shows sometimes and I see how mean people can be and they just, how did they get there?
How they sleep at night.
Yeah, I just...
You know, like these organized criminals and stuff.
Yeah, I can't watch them. But they're hardened. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. But this person that's walking right with God, that is committed to walking in the ways of the Lord, what's surrounding him is good. Right in the middle of darkness, he's good. He feels good about himself. There's a joy in his life. There's a peace and a rest that is not in the other person. You can tell the difference as you look at them. So it's a good comparison for us. Proverbs 4:20-27 and Proverbs 3:1-10 list some keys to walking in the steps of a good man. Now these are some of the keys. There's a lot of them, and these are Old Testament, but these things have not changed. These principles that are listed in these particular scriptures have not changed. They're probably stronger now than they were then because of the cross. So it's important. And if we look at these things, and what we'll be talking about next week too, as we look at these, they're keys for us to govern our life. They're keys to, when I look at these, where do I fall in this statement? But where am I? Don't deceive yourself. Be honest with yourself. You know, don't worry about feeling bad about where you are. If you are not where you need to be, God will help you get where you need to be. But you can't change something that you're not willing to face or look at. So there's several points, and I'm taking this one verse at a time is the way I've done it, so that we can look at each point as we go through these. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Now there's a lot in that verse. Attend. Pay attention. Do what they say. Conform to them. Let them govern your life. Go attend to this job over here, Mike. In other words, accomplish that. Go do it. Attend to my words, or do what my word is saying. Attend to it. Consent and submit to my sayings. Again, he's talking about the word. Now, we talked about that. Most of them say submit. The Amplified puts consent on there. And that, when I first saw that, I thought, why? Aren't they saying the same thing? No, they're not. No, you can be a slave and somebody beat the dickens out of you and you'll submit.
Yep.
Or you can consent and submit. Consenting means I'm doing this from of my own free will. I'm going to consent to this. I want to do this. Yeah, it's my job. I'm choosing to consent here. I'm not being beat into it. When we're talking about walking in the ways of the Lord,
yes.
I should be consenting to His ways.
Yes.
I'm not being forced to walk in them.
Yes.
He will not force me. If I'm going to walk with God, if I'm going to allow His presence to flow through me and in me, then I'm going to have to consent of my free will, because I want to.
So if you consent, you understand what you're doing.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. You may not understand the fullness of what you're consenting to,
right.
But you're consenting to His way and His will. And then as you do that, He teaches you.
Right.
He teaches you what you need to know to follow in that. And that's a moment-by-moment thing. We'd like to see the end from the beginning, but it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God it doesn't. If we saw the end from the beginning, we'd never go that way. You know, but and we would want to know every point about it and all the hurts and all the different things that's in the middle of that, all the ups and downs. How did I get from here to there?
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about that. Every moment, you'll get another piece and you'll take another step that'll add a building block to the finished product. So attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Who's talking here? God is talking. Praise God. Then the next step, next key. Now that was the first key, attending and consenting to His word. The second key is let them, His words, not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Isn't it talking about the same thing? No, it's not. There are two different things there in that statement. Let them not depart from your sight. Where's your sight? Your sight is in your natural body. It's what you see in the natural as you look around. Your natural everyday life. Keep them in the center of your heart. That's your spirit. So it's talking about the natural man, the things you walk through every day of your life. If you leave the second part of that off, you're not going to be complete. You have to have both. You're consenting to His words. You're letting them not depart from your sight. In other words, you're keeping them. They're the governor of your life. You're not going to walk around with it in front of your eyes all the time and have a wreck. You know, not what that means. Or walk into the wall. You're keeping them in the center of everything you do. That's what it's talking about. This is so important to you. You're consenting and submitting to them, and you're governing your life by it. You're governing your natural life by your will. You're governing your life by these words. And when you do that, they drop into your heart.
Yes.
You're feeding your spirit man this word. So you're doing both. You're keeping in your sight your natural man, and they're in your heart as well, in your spirit. So this is, you're governing your life, spirit, soul, and body by the word. That's what you're doing. Walking in His ways. That's one key. That's key number two. The third key is for they, again, he's still talking about the word. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Not only does it bring life to us, it brings healing and health. Why? Because I'm doing key one and key two. Because I do key one, I'm attending and submitting and attending to His word, consenting and submitting to His word. Number two, I'm letting them not depart from my sight. I'm keeping them in the midst of my heart. They then bring me life. his life, his idea of what life is. And to those who, what? Find
them.
When you find something, what are you doing?
You're looking for it.
You're seeking it. You're digging into the Word. You're finding whatever you're going through. You're studying. You're letting this Word as absolute truth fill your spirit. You're asking Him questions. Lord, how do I do that? What's keeping me from doing that? Lord, teach me this. Show me how to walk in this. It's important to you. So they bring life to you when you do that, when you find them. Healing and health. What's the difference? Well, if you're healed, you don't need to. If you're healthy, you don't need to be healed.
Yep.
So it brings healing and health to all your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. So it's going to bring healing and health not only to my body, but to every part of me. A lot of times in the Bible, talks Jesus talking about healing a leper. And he heals the leper. Yeah, they were healed. And another one, he says, and they were made whole. Well, that means if his arm fell off because of leprosy, he got his arm back.
Wow.
Made whole. So when you read the word whole, remember that it's completing the process. There's a difference between being healed and being healthy.
Oh.
And what did that? The word. What I did with the word brought that forth. Now, God wanted to bring this third key to pass, but if I'm not doing one and two, I can't get three. See, they're building blocks. Have you ever seen a bunch of locks where you got different keys for them and you got to put them in sequence?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got them in sequence. If you don't have them in sequence, it won't work.
Uh-huh.
Or codes that you have to put in sequence on something. And that's what this is. You don't do one and two, you can't get three.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember this. I don't care who you are. You're going through problems sometime in your life.
Oh, yeah.
These are keys. They're important keys for us as we go through troubles and problems of life, no matter what it is, no matter how serious or how light it is. What's serious to me may not be serious to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be the same problem. But these are always keys. If I don't do these things, then whatever I'm going through is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
I choose whether I want it to get worse or whether I want it to get better. I want to do it God's way or my own way. And there's a big difference between God's way and my way. The next key number four, is keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life.
Mm-hmm.
So see, what a water spring is? It's a continuous flow of water. Most of the time, it's always cold and refreshing. Our hand-dug well at home was only 12 feet. It was spring-fed from a spring that was right in that area. But it was hand-dug. It was about that big around. And it's hand-dug. And the water table was really high there in our place. We always had sloppy grass water standing in our yard, but nobody else did.
Yeah, I had to walk on boards all the time.
Just the way it was.
You cut your grass running through 3 inches of water.
Yeah, just the way it was. And there was a spring there called Lithium because it was supposed to have, the town was called Lithium because the spring was supposed to have that mineral in it. I don't know if it did or not, but it was named.
People came from miles around. There were big hotels there and everything.
Yeah, at one time. But anyways, this is what happens to us. The springs of life flow from our spirit. I told you sometime back, our healing doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside. Everything that God does in and for us and through us, it comes from inside, by the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in our spirit. It's communicated to our spirit and flows out of us. That's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why we speak His word and declare it. When I take the word of God and I speak it, the Spirit is empowering that word because it's His word. And I'm speaking it, and if I join my faith to the word, to the power of the Holy Spirit that's backing that word comes to pass. If I'm just rattling it off, there's no power in that because I don't really believe it. But if I make a choice, this is absolute truth, I'm focusing on this and nothing else, this will come to pass, because it's not me, it's him. He's speaking through me, that word backing what I say. Well, it sounded like me. It did sound like you, because it is you. It's your spirit man speaking what the Holy Spirit communicated to your spirit man. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit man. Our spirit man speaks what he hears. If I allow that. Holy Spirit can speak to my spirit man and me not release it. Then it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But if I agree with the word and speak what he says, it comes to pass. Unless I abort it.
Yes.
I can abort it with words also.
Yeah, being double-minded.
Yeah. That we all do it without realizing we're doing it sometimes. I believe the word, Lord. I thank you for it. I receive it. It's coming to pass. And walk right out the door. Well, how such and such? I don't know. She's not going to live. And now you aborted it when you stepped out. You're supposed to be saying, I can't tell the natural how she's doing, but I know what the word says. I know what the word says, and I'm standing on the word. And join me. Join me.
Even people you pray for, though, who don't understand that, you know, you'll pray, you'll tell them now you're going to be healed, you know, mm-hmm. or you're going to do this or whatever.
Yep.
And they'll go around telling you how sick they are.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you're not agreeing with me. I mean, if you agree with me and with the Word and with the Holy Spirit, we can get the thing fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he died for it. There's nothing he didn't die for. So it's healable. Keep and guard your heart, your spirit man, with all vigilance. Because that's where the life is. That's where the power is. That's why you guard your heart. You guard what goes in, and you guard what comes out.
Yeah.
Above all that you guard.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us will guard our money, but not our heart. We'll guard different things in our life, our time, our free time, our pleasure, all these other things. We'll guard that, but we won't guard the word. Don't guard our heart. It goes in there, and it's important. Now, key number 5, put away. So there's again another action on my part, right? Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk, put far from you.
Yes.
I do that. I zip my lip. Zip your lip. You don't have to say what you think. Zip your lip. Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk, put far from you. You don't have to say what you're thinking. You don't have to say it. There's no reason to say what you're thinking. If it goes contrary to the word, if it does not bring forth life, don't say it. Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, he talked about our mouth and what we say. And here's key number 6. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. What's he talking about? If I let my eyes look on with fixed purpose, what am I doing? I'm focusing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focused on this. I'm not going to turn. In the letter it says, I believe the next one says, look straight before you. This is straight before you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. So I have a purpose in what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean just looking. It means this is where I'm going. I'm focusing on this. This and this only.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what anything else says, I'm focused on what the word says. And let your gaze be straight before you. Don't look to the right or to the left. You govern that. Then it says, the next one is, consider well the path of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Consider what you're doing. Think about what the results is going to be when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how this is going to affect my walk with God. How this is going to affect my faith. Think about what kind of a struggle that's going to be coming my way or in somebody else's life because I'm doing this.
Mm.
Think about it. There's always cause and effect.
Yes.
Everything we do has cause and effect. And everything in my now affects my next now. I can change anything in my now moment, no matter what the past has been, I can change it in my now, but I have to maintain it once I start changing it in my next now. That's what it's talking about. Consider well the path of your feet. Where am I going with what I'm doing? Don't just look at the natural. Look at the spiritual aspect of it first. Because the spiritual aspect of the whatever I'm doing has power over the natural. That's how I turn my natural, is with the spiritual. That's what we're talking about here. I can turn anything, no matter what it is, in my spirit, in the spirit, with the spiritual realm, with the word. Consider well the path of your feet, and let. We know that's a choice again. And let all your ways be established and ordered aright. How do I get all of my ways established and ordered right? I walk in the ways of the Lord. Yeah. Walk in the love walk, walking the word, filtering what I do through the word of God, letting that be final authority in the decisions I make, in what I think, say, and do. Now that means you're going to fail occasionally. Don't get mad when you do. Just get up and go again. You know, just keep going. Keep changing. Don't let your mind get in your way. You let the word determine what you do and what you think and how you respond. And that sometimes is a little bit difficult when the spirit is saying this and my eyes are seeing this. You know, you have to look at the word to see what's real. Okay, the next one is turn not aside. Now, who does the turning? I do. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, that doesn't mean you're killing people. It could. But that's not what it's talking about. It's anything that's separating you from God. Remove your foot from evil. I have to do that. Sometimes evil is, the Bible calls unbelief evil. You know, I can believe the circumstance and be evil because it's contrary to what the Word says. I'm supposed to be believing the Word no matter what the circumstance is. So I have to remove my foot from that evil of unbelief and put it over here with belief. I have to trust the Word and believe that it's final authority. Well, now look at Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. This is, you could put the two together as one long statement, or you could put them back to back, end to end, either way you want to do it. They're pretty close to one another. Another key here found in Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law or teaching. Now again, that's the word. But let your heart keep my commandments. That sounds like verse 20 in Proverbs 4, doesn't it? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not be part from my eyes. It sounds similar to that, forget not my law or teaching. And verse 2, 4. Now if I don't do that, if I do what verse 1 says, then this is the result. 4, length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, they shall add to you. Amen. Do you want to live in that? Anybody here that don't want to? I didn't think there would be anybody. So, the key to doing verse 2 is to walk in God's ways and to do verse 1. See how the Word does that. The Word adds that to me. What I do with this word increases the length of my days. But it doesn't just add days to my life. You know, I could be in prison, I'm not going to be, but I could be in prison the rest of the days of my life. Well, I'm not going to be very happy there. Mm-hmm. Or I could be in a bed the rest of my life. I don't want to be there, do you? But I still have length of days. So the word doesn't just add days to my life. It adds a life worth living. Life worth living. Now, if I have my idea of a life worth living, and it's not, but it might be I gamble and win everything, and I got cars everywhere. I got houses. I got business. I'm doing drugs, alcohol, and drinking all I want to drink, and it's flowing out both ears as I drink it. I got girls on every port, you know, and houses all over. That's a good life. No, it's not. That's the worst life you could possibly have. Mm-hmm. It says a life worth living. Who decides what's worth living? A life with God is worth living. Because it's going somewhere. It's worth living. And tranquility. Now, if we're living one moment up, next moment down, like I always liken it, my favorite one is a pinball machine. Because that was 1950s when I grew up, had pinball machines, not Game Boys. Pinball machines. You pull this little handle and a ball goes up there, and if it goes shoop and all the way back down, misses everything, that's not good. But in life, that is good. Because that pinball ball, when you pull the handle, it goes up there and hits those bumpers and bounces over there and bounces back up over here and bounces over there, and you flip it a little bit and it goes back up and bounces again. That's how we live our life. That's not a life worth living. But that's a natural man's way of life. But a life worth living with tranquility is one where that pinball goes up there and rolls straight down.
Well, we were at a church, I think it was that one down on 63 South. The preacher was going through stuff about life worth living. But he was given examples of like movie stars and singers and people who, no matter how much money they spent, it didn't give them any thrill.
It doesn't give them anything.
You know, this one guy, and he told him who he was. It was a famous person. I can't remember who he said he was. But this man outbid Beyonce for a mansion in California, in Hollywood or someplace, for $77 million.
Wow.
I don't know how many rooms it had. I remember that he said it had 16 bathrooms in it.
And, how many times can you go to the bathroom?
And all this stuff, and tennis court and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, and the man said it didn't do for him what he thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
Make him feel better. It did not make him feel better.
It does not make him feel better.
He was from Sweden or someplace, this entertainer.
Well, I forget who he was talking about. But,
you know, we've often heard that money doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It can't buy healing and it can't buy health. It can't buy happiness. Can't buy it.
I mean, $77 million bucks can make a lot of little houses for homeless people.
You're miserable. You're miserable. So this is something we need to look at. Do I want length of days and years of life worth living and tranquility? Then it says inward and outward. So not only do I have a tranquil life of peace walking through my everyday life, but I'm at rest in my heart. No matter what's going on around me, I'm at rest. I'm at rest. Continuing through old age till death. When you get to 74, you know, you like that.
Yeah. Well, like somebody asked John D. Rockefeller. It was in a book I read. And he said, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a little bit more.
It's, you never get there.
No. Yeah. Just a little bit more.
But if you are wealthy and you're walking in the ways of the Lord, that wealth is a tool to reach people.
Yep.
And you never get, you cannot give God.
No.
You know, the more you give in love, the happier you are. The more blessed people are, the stronger you get, the more he pours out.
Yeah.
Let not mercy and kindness shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart.
Yeah.
What's it talk about neck and heart? Most people miss that too. The neck is where? It's outward. It's our natural person.
Yeah.
Tablet of the heart is our spirit.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about there. Let not mercy and kindness and truth forsake you. It amplifies mercy and kindness. When it says let not mercy and kindness, it amplifies it by say, saying shutting out all hatred and selfishness. Now, who does that? We have to shut that out. And the result is we walk in kindness and mercy and kindness. And truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood. See, if I'm to walk in truth, I have to guard my heart and not walk in falsehood and hypocrisy or be a hypocrite. I got to be truthful in my ways as I walk through these ways. Bind them about your neck. In other words, make this, everything in your outward man does, be right and truthful, walking in mercy and grace. And write this upon the tablet of your heart so it does not depart from you. So it becomes part of who you are in your everyday life. Verse 4, so, in other words, when I do that, then this happens. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. If you're struggling with a relationship, say your boss or a family member or a son or a daughter, you know, we've got a couple that are not necessarily, they don't favor us much. We don't know why. Never did know why. One we haven't talked to in over 2 years. We don't know where they're at. We know they're in the city of Columbia. We don't know anything else.
Yeah, they won't know.
We have no way of communicating with them and don't know why it's that way. But this says that if I do what he said to do here, it will give me favor. I can have favor with them even though I can't connect with them. God can grant me favor. Good understanding. He can cause my understanding of circumstances to be right. He can give me understanding in what I'm struggling with and what I'm walking through in my life, whether it be I'm trying to make a business decision or, and I know Kathy just bought a car, looking at the car and deciding which one I need. He can give us understanding. He knows that car. You may not, but he does. He knows what the hindrance is in between relationships. He knows my family member's problem. I don't. And he can work with that. So shall you find favor and good understanding and high esteem in the sight of judgment of God and man. The word works in many ways besides just obeying it. When you obey it and you let it become part of who you are, it affects every area of our life. It's so important that we walk in the ways of the Lord and make that decision. Verse 5, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Again, it's separating spirit and carnal nature, carnal man. And do not rely on your own insight and understanding. This is a hard one. Because we all tend to rely on our own insight and understanding. And when you're walking with God, you don't do that. Because you don't know enough. But he does. You see, and if I believe it, and if I do that, lean on, trust in, and am confident in the Lord with all my heart and mind. If I do that, then he can grant me understanding in the areas where I cannot have understanding. This is so vital to us. The next one is, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths.
Yes.
But my part is all my ways, I know, recognize, and acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. What area are you not acknowledging him in? That's a big reason why you don't have understanding there. Because he can't get it to you. But when you, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, then he can direct and make straight and plain your path. See, he's already laid the path out, but we can't see it. We don't understand it. We see the path of the world or path of our carnal nature, path of the things that we can think, things that we can understand with our own mind. We can see that, but we can't see this because it's spiritual. But if I do this, then he can make plain my path, a path that I don't see. And that's the one that will bring results. Be not wise in your own eyes. I've got it all. Got a problem? bring her to me. No, don't bring it to me. That's for sure. Be not wise in your own eyes. If you're not doing verse 6, then you're wise in your own eyes. That's why you're not leaning on him. That's why you're not recognizing and acknowledging him in your all of your ways. It's because you're wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. Now, if you go to the New King James or the King James, it would say fear the Lord. Here it takes that word fear and properly defines it. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. That sounds like the other one, doesn't it? Like in Proverbs 4. Be not wise in your own eyes. If you're wise in your own eyes, you can't reverently and worship the Lord, fear the Lord and worship the Lord. You can't do that. And if you do that, here's the result of it. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. See, it's bringing health back to you. Because you're doing what it said to do. You're honoring the Lord. You're letting the Word be first place. You're focused on where it says to go and do. Honor the Lord. This is the one people struggle with the most, and it's actually the easiest to do. Mm-hmm. Honor the Lord with your capital and your sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income. Don't bring him the leftovers. Mm-hmm. Malachi talks about that, and he's not happy with it. Mm-hmm. God is not happy with it. And he wants the first fruits so he can give you first fruits. It's not helping. That's something he got to have. It's something he needs to get something to you. It's for you. That's why you do this. He wants to do something for you. This is the key that unlocks what he can do. And the last one for this tonight is so, or again, when you do verse 9, verse 10 happens. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats be overflowing with new wine. If I trust the Lord and walk in his ways here, it includes doing that. That's part of it. We can't leave any of these things out. It's something that we have to do, not white-knuckledly, or because I see that and I'm forced into it. Because I love the Lord, that's why I do it. Because I'm, like it said, honor the Lord. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing this, I'm being forced into it or feel like I am, then I can't honor God. Mm-hmm. I'm not honoring him. I'm doing an act, but it's not yielding anything. It's all carnal. It means nothing.
Gotta be from the heart.
Mm-hmm. I do this because I love the Lord and because I see it in his word. I honor him with this. And then he can do verse 10. But until I do verse 9 with honor, then I'm on my own with verse 10. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that principle. All of these are reality. They're real. They're absolute truth. And you can look at them as a commandment because they are. Mm-hmm. But they're for our benefit. He's telling us keys to walking in his ways, keys to prospering, keys to having the joy in our life, keys to having success wherever we go and whatever we do. Doesn't mean we won't have to make decisions. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. But praise God, if I'm doing it with my heart, he knows that.
Amen.
And he's able to lead and guide me and put me in a place where I need to be when I fall, as soon as I get back up. He will honor me. And there's a lot of other promises that go with this. We'll touch on a few again next week. But I hope this tonight meant something to you, that you maybe grabbed something. We've talked about these areas before, another series. But if we're talking about walking the steps of in the ways of the Lord and walking in the steps of a good man, we need to know these things because these are the things that hinder us if we don't do them. Without doing these, we can't walk in those steps. And it keeps God from doing what he wants to do. You know, hallelujah. And it damages our fruit. If we don't do these, We can't be the good man. Father, we love you and thank you for this word. Thank you for teaching these keys to us, Lord. They seem difficult, but they're really not. All we have to do is walk your word and love you, sir, and you'll teach us how. Thank you so much for sharing by your Spirit tonight these principles. Thank you, Lord, that they'll not depart from us, that by your Spirit you'll continue to quicken these to us and cause us to have understanding. And wherever we don't, that you'll teach us how to do these things when we don't know how. And Father, we thank you that you will not be slow in responding. We'll know that you're working.
Amen.
We'll know that you're working, and we thank you for it, Lord. We trust you, and we trust your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.